Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reborn Identity.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Lord, I come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. Before your throne, with the worries of my day, for I know that you will hear me when I kneel to pray. But only if I listen and obey.
If I obey your word.
Welcome back. This is Vivian Kelly at the Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio. I just want to say thank you for tuning in again. This wonderful, it felt like spring today. It was just a beautiful day here in Southern California. And I'm glad that you guys are tuning in and listening. And for those who are archiving or would like to archive, you can do so after the show. And we have that available. Well, again, you know, we're here another week. God has blessed us in many ways, you know. And talking about learning this week, I have had to take a hard look at my mission in life. And what does that mean? To some people, they go on by just each and every day living life as it was the day before. However, there's so many areas of my life that I'm speaking to the Lord and say, hey, you know what? Let's negotiate. And, you know, God is so wonderful. He's so merciful to say, you know, you're such a cute kid. Now go back to work. Now work is where I'm having that hard look in my mission. You know, why am I really here? And I know a lot of people have been asking that for themselves. People personally have come up to me and we have spoken and interacted, and we both, you know, in the conversation, come to that conclusion. What is our mission in life? What does God want us to do? You know, I know that He wants us to reflect Him. Because, you know, as a chaplain, a volunteer chaplain that I am, sometimes the last person they will hear or see is that it's me. And not to sound narcissistic, which is a very interesting topic, and we can get into that maybe in a future show, but the thought that you're talking to someone who is taking their final sleep. And so with that said, it had made me think, you know, am I living my mission? What does the Lord want me to do? And I know He wants me in a different capacity, and He's building me, and He's breaking me down and building me up so that I'm able to go into that. But what does that mean? And you know, God opened His arms and clearly said to me, you know, to be what I am meant to be. To be what I'm meant to be. Whatever that is. Me to be what I'm meant to be, dot, dot, dot. That means anything that I put my hands on, anyone who I interact with or do business with, to be the best that I can be. I learned to the true meaning this week of narcissistic personalities and how one can use that personality and bring it into their marriage, their relationships, and even their workplace. And I realized then how much we are in contempt of God. We really are. I am in contempt of God each and every day. You know, He gives us things. He puts people on our paths. He wants us to shine. And like Lucifer, you know, it's amazing how I started correlating these things. Like Lucifer, he was shining. God gave him everything. And then he became narcissistic. And I think that is a disease, a human spiritual disease that affects everyone. And I know. And so as I was looking at my week from last week to this week, just looking at it, God has allowed me to see how I have brought that into my marriage and how I have allowed, and it's like, for some reason, my grandma used to say to me, tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are. And I realized that, and taking the blame for myself, because we have to take responsibility and accountability for our own actions. Yet I started realizing that a lot of the things that I started becoming, don't you know who I am? Do you know who this is? I do this, I've done this. Become narcissistic is by hanging or being around those who themselves practice the same. And it is interesting. It is interesting, which has allowed me to see what I have brought into my marriage. I know that through God, all things are possible. I know that for sure. And with that said, I know that living in this renegade planet, one day it will cease. And I know that before this planet may cease, that I will cease. And the question, which brings me back to my mission, and personalities and, you know, the different personalities that people have, whether it's in the marriage, workplace, or even in the church. Our mission should be, or my mission should be, to leave an imprint, a positive imprint, that in everything I do, from my marriage to the outside, I need to leave a positive imprint. It's no longer me, it's us. And dare I think, what image I might leave behind? Which is something to make, that made me think a great deal. Oh, I don't know how to put it, but oh, that I will no longer be in contempt of God. That's what I want to make sure. But thank God that in through his mercy and grace, every day I have the opportunity to repent and start all over again. And he's not with a little notebook. God is not with a little notebook going, you did this with your husband. You said this to your husband. You know, he wants us to come to him and say, you know, I messed up. I don't know what to do. Please change me. Please send your Holy Spirit to take care of me. Please show me the way you want me to be. Whether I'm working for someone, for myself, or for God, that I may find mercy in his eyes in everything I do. So it's interesting. It's interesting this week has been a really amazing week as far as looking and seeing that we can be so narcissistic. That there's a difference between self-esteem, self-confidence, and blatantly narcissistic. So I wanted my confidence to be in the Lord. And I know that through my confidence in the Lord, I will be making better decisions and better choices. And through my actions, others will learn. I'm very sure of that. So marriages can be redeemed. Marriages can be saved. Marriages can survive. And more so than ever, we need to focus on our marriage. So tonight, I know I'm excited. We're going to be having Mike and Gail Tucker from Mad About Marriage on our show this evening. What a blessing. I know this is going to be a big blessing for all of us. In fact, I started reading one of his books. And Mike Tucker has a book, and just in case you're just tuning in, welcome to The Reborn Identity. But we're talking about Mike Tucker's book, 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage, Relationship Secrets from the Book of Ruth. You know, if you're having issues with your marriage, I ask you to tune in, stay tuned. They're coming in a couple of minutes, not a couple of minutes, within 20 minutes. But please tune in, call your friends, and let them know. Because, see, Satan is trying to destroy the family unit. Right now, I believe we're at 55% now. Before Christians, it was unheard of, Christians getting a divorce. And I must say that I am married. This is my second marriage. And a lot I've learned from my first marriage, and it takes two. It's not just a one-sided. Even though one may seem a little bit stronger than the other, it takes two in a marriage to make it work or for it to fail. And I never thought I would be in the divorce club. I never thought. I thought, you know, I'll just get married, and you know, if it works, it works. And going into that marriage vows with that mind frame or that mindset opens up a lot of doors. And let me tell you, Christians throughout the world, or especially in North America, we are having an increase of divorces. But yet, they're not even calculating of the people that have remarried the same person again. And I would like to see a study of those who have remarried the same partner again. Because, and some have even married three times the same partner. Now, that goes a little bit beyond what I can talk about because I'm not well-versed in marriage counseling. But I can tell you one thing. I have heard personally people that have gotten divorced and then remarried again, and they wonder why they got divorced the first place. So with that said, there is a lot going on today that basically is making, it's influencing our stance, it's influencing our commitments. So with that said, I am so glad to have Mike and Gail Tucker. This week, we will begin also with the prayer requests that we have. Every single week, we have prayer requests, and people will send it to us or send me some messages or call me or send me a text message, which is wonderful. Diane is still praying for the Evangelistic Series that are going on. They're on their way. They are kicking off different locations in the United States. And so she's based out of Tennessee, so she's very excited. So we're going to continue praying for Diane. Some of our chaplains, as you know, I'm a volunteer chaplain at a local hospital, actually one of our hospitals. And some of our chaplains are experiencing some health issues, but also their family members. And so we've lost a couple of them that they needed to take care of their family, so we need to put them in prayer. And people have been asking me to pray for their family. We just had a wonderful baptism last weekend, and I'm very excited to say that it was amazing, and God is wonderful, and He is always in control. We have five individuals making their commitment to the Lord, and we just want to lift them up in prayer, as we know that now that they've made that commitment, Satan is not happy, and that's fine because we're not supposed to make Satan happy. We're supposed to, look and make the choices to serve God. And so therefore, I'm very excited to announce those five individuals that got baptized. One was 14 years old, and I am very excited about that. So we need to lift them up in prayer, keep them in prayer, because this is when things are starting, they're going to start getting rough. And we all know I was rebaptized in 2004, and it's amazing what things that didn't occur before or things that never thought would happen started happening. And we know that it was through prayer and supplication and intercessory prayer for many people that we've made that, we as a collective group, those around me, we were able to just get into prayer, and they were able to help me stay focused on the prize, which the prize for me is just salvation. And that's, I fight the good fight. I want to be able to, before I cease, I'm able to say I fought the good fight. So thank God for them, but we need to continue praying for these individuals. One of them has a lot of health issues, so we need to pray for that. Praying for all the marriages, whether they're pastors, deacons, church members, non-church members, just marriages in total. There's some marriages that really don't need to reach the divorce court because it's just a simple communication process. So, and then others, we need to pray for those who are having issues with domestic violence because we know those things do happen. A book that I've been reading, and the reason I was reading it is because I had to make a decision myself what I'm supposed to do in my own marriage and how I just needed the how should I say it? I really needed the guidance of the Lord as I decided to kind of rethink about my marriage, how I wanted to be seen for myself. How does that look? What is, I mean, marriages are not going to be perfect, okay? Marriages are not going to be perfect, but what is my vision of my marriage? What does that mean to me? What do I envision my marriage to be? And I was reading A Redemptive Divorce by Mark W. Gaither. He is an amazing writer, and it made me think, rethink a lot of things as to my perspective, what, you know, to look at both views, because God really wants unity. And anyway, so for those, just please pray for those marriages that are out there that you know of. I'll be praying for those that I know of. And also keep me in prayer as I continue to seek the Lord's guidance on how to be the woman of faith that I should be. So for now, these are the four prayer requests that we have. I know that the pastor asked last night to lift up the youth, and so therefore we're going to also lift up the youth in prayer because they're going through a lot. You know, it's like the pastor was talking about definitions of, you know, the baby boomers and the late boomers and then the Generation X. They all have a different communication skill, communication tactics, and some of the older generation, your generation, kind of clash. So we just need to place them in prayer as well because, again, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities. And thank God we have God on our side, that he is taking care of everything. So if we will, if you have any questions, any comments, or any prayer requests, just remember to email me at info@holdyourpeace.com. That's info@holdyourpeace.com. Or send me an email via Facebook. Well, we're going to enter into prayer again. For those, Lord, I just say thank you, Lord, for giving us this new day of life to make choices. Every single day is a new day. Every single day we have trials and tribulations, but we know that we just stand firm in your word, Lord. I come to you, though, boldly yet humbly to the foot of the throne to say, if I have offended you or anyone that I come in contact, Lord, even if I don't know, please forgive me so these prayers may not be hindered because of my action, Lord. I come to you, Lord, with such enthusiasm and yet with many mixed feelings because there are so many things that are happening and in marriages that people are just not really seeing a breakthrough. And Lord, I just ask you, I ask you that you would give a sign, not even a big sign, but that you would send your Holy Spirit to put an anointing on all these marriages that are struggling, Lord. Whether they're struggling from financial, whether they're struggling from lack of commitment, lack of communication, domestic violence, Lord, you know their hearts. Oh, Lord, I ask you to take care of them, to put them in, put them in your arms and hold on to them, that they may feel that, Lord. Some marriages don't want to give up. Some marriages do love each other. Some marriages are in love with each other. They just can't pass the resentment, Lord. I know that, Lord. I'm one of those marriages, Lord. And I ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Show us what we're doing wrong. Forgive us for our sin and cleanse us, Lord, that we may be a bright beacon of light within our own marriage. Lord, I ask you to take care and continue blessing Diane you know her hard work. Every week she's sending me these prayer requests. And Lord, we need to put her in prayer. And we need to lift her up and just keep her there, because we know that with every evangelistic series, we know the battle that goes on. Oh, Lord, I ask you to take care. Please take care and overlook the chaplains. We now have a total of 68 chaplains at our hospital. What a miracle. And it's all by the working through you, Lord, that Chaplain Chet Dameron has been able to secure 68 chaplains, Lord. And they do such a wonderful job. Take care of those who are having their family issues, Lord, that they have to take care of now their own sick. Those who are, cannot be taken care of by anyone but by them, by these chaplains, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to bless our hospitals, bless all the hospitals, Lord. Take care of all those who are in the hospital sick, who believe in you, and those who don't, that each chaplain that goes into that room, that they may be able to see your beauty, your majesty, your love, Lord, only through you. Also, Lord, I ask you to take care of the recently baptized. You know who they are. You know what they're dealing with. And you know what life they have just begun. Lord, I just ask you to send a legion of angels to be encamped around them, that they may be able to see that they're not alone. I ask you to put the right individuals in their path so that they'll be able to give them the love and support and the spiritual nourishment that they need. Lord, I know that each and every one of them, including myself, have to always face that old man, that old woman. But Lord, give us the strength. Give them the strength to be able to not revert back to that old person that they used to be. And Lord, last but not least, oh Lord, please take care of our youth. Our youth are going through so much. And let it not be where they're going to come to church and somebody will intercept them, and not for the good. Take care of them as they struggle each day to stand for you, because it's not popular to be a Christian nowadays. So, Lord, I thank you that you are already answering all these blessings according to your will, all these prayers according to your will. Lord, I just thank you, because we know that only through you all these things can be possible. So I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do have a praise report. Praise report. Moving on to praise report, I am so excited to say that two of the Bible candidates that were kind of thinking about getting baptized this weekend, the day of the baptism, Saturday morning, they came and they surprised me. But more importantly, I know that God was rejoicing. So for those two that were very hesitant, very adamant, I just thank the Lord that he was able to move into your heart, that you may accept him as your personal Savior and be baptized. So that's one. And the other praise report is that there have been individuals that have been feeling sick and dealing with a lot of emotional but yet physical problems, and this week they were able to deal with it even better than the week before. So I just say thank you, Lord, for those, for the blessings and I just want to praise you for doing what you're doing. Just a reminder, you can find us on Facebook, The Reborn Identity, or you can find me on Twitter, the Reborn, actually it's Reborn ID or Vivian on Twitter. So if you want to know what's happening, you can always send me a message and I'll go ahead and accept you. And if you have any questions or comments, again, you can send us an email at info@holdyourpeace.com. That's info@holdyourpeace.com. Remember, this is a live show. So if you're needing to ask questions, you can always do so by calling in. And that number is 818-562-8027. Again, 818-562-8027. And I need to slow down because I know that my one of the chaplains, the main chaplain at the hospital, keeps on saying, you speak a little too fast. So I do apologize if I do. But anyway, with that said, I need to remind you that if last week we had Jamie George. He's going to be in California, Southern California in May. And I would like to just remind you that if you're wanting to know more about Jamie George and his concert, you can find him at www.jamiegeorge.com. That's www.jamiegeorge.com. Before we go on this break, I want to read one of the verses for this week, and it's found in Psalms 123. And you know how I was talking about in contempt of God, and how we become in contempt of Him each and every moment, and how He forgives us. Psalms 123 was a wonderful verse that I found today. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. That is a wonderful verse that I found today and I was pondering upon. I hope that you can think about that. That's Psalms 123. And I'm going to just pause a moment to bring you one of Jamie George's. He has a wonderful hymn, several hymns that I am going to play, but one of them is O Mighty Fortress. Fortress. That was Jamie George. What a blessing. What a blessing. He has such a talent in God, and he's using it for the right reasons. And I'm just so glad that he was on our show last week and blessed, because it is, oh, what a mighty fortress. I mean, God has such great things for us. And, you know, that is why he has given us the word, so that we're able to build our foundation on the rock. And only through Christ we can do so much more with his blessing. Well, as I said, prior to going on the break, we were going to have Mike Tucker, and actually Mike and Gail Tucker. But just to confirm, the number to call in, if you would like to call in, it's 818-572-8027. Again, 818-572-8027. For some reason, I've been having it for the longest under 562-8026, and it's been changed to to the number I just gave you, which is 572-8027 with the area code 818. Well, without any further ado, I will give you some information of our guest. Mike Tucker is the speaker director of Faith for Today Television, the oldest religious television broadcast in the world. He has directed Faith for Today since 2004 and is co-host of the ministry's flagship program, Lifestyle Magazine. Mike's ministry is marked by service to God and to his community. He served for 17 years as senior pastor of the 2,000-member Seventh-day Adventist Church in Arlington, Texas, and has additional experience as a counselor, Christian high school Bible teacher, youth pastor, and senior chaplain for medical and psychiatric facilities. Mike holds a master's degree in counseling and has served as a pastor's pastor for ministers in his denomination. He has authored several books, including Journal of a Lonely God, Jesus, He's All You'll Ever Need, That's the Truth, Heart Food, that's Heart Food, H-E-A-R-T Food, Jesus, Your Heart's Desire, Every Good Thing, 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage, and more. That's just Mike. Now let's go on and bring on Gail Tucker. Joined the Faith for Today television team full-time in 2009 as associate speaker. She is the co-host of the flagship program Lifestyle Magazine and other Faith for Today productions. Gail has devoted her life to ministry, having served for 16 years as pastor of administration, music, and worship at the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist Church in Arlington, Texas. She was the first woman to become a credentialed commissioned minister in the Southwestern Union Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Gail has a background in elementary education and has made family relationships an emphasis in her ministry. Gail and her husband, Mike, traveled North America for several years as co-presenters for From This Day Forward and Love for a Lifetime marriage conferences. They are currently focusing on their newest television and seminar project, Mad About Marriage. Love that show. Mike and Gail live near their two adult daughters and son-in-law in Dallas, Texas. They love being grandparents to their first grandchild, who was born in January of 2011. What a blessing. So without any further ado again, let's just go ahead and invite both Mike and Gail. Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. It's so good to be here with you.
We are happy to be with you.
I'm excited. I've been telling everybody about you guys. And I have been reading your book, 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage. Wonderful.
Oh, good.
Wonderful book. Yes. So how are you guys this evening? And tell us about what is Mad About You all about, or about marriage all about.
Well, we're doing great this evening. And Mad About Marriage is both a television show and a seminar. And it is our it expresses our desire to help marriages throughout the world, and North America primarily. You know, our flagship show is Lifestyle Magazine, and that's on over 260 stations and networks across the world. And within that show, we wanted to do a recurring series of shows about marriage. And so we came up with Mad About Marriage. We're asking, are you madly in love or just plain mad?
And then we took those shows and kind of turned those principles into a seminar that we present at churches all across North America. So we've been doing that for the last 2 years and enjoying meeting people in the local setting.
Yes. I did see you guys in Glendale one time, I believe, and I really loved the response that everybody was talking about. And I'm like, wow, can we be really madly in love, or really, seriously, your question, are we mad? And a lot of people seem not to be able to answer that question. And I'm like, wow, it's interesting, because I believe that marriages are being attacked. That's it. That's all I can say. It's just they're being attacked. And if we have a clearer understanding about what goes on really in a marriage, because a lot, I think from what I've heard from different individuals that I've spoken to last week and this week, they know about marriage what they've seen from their parents.
Yes. And that is true. I mean, we learn, who teaches you to do relationships? Basically, it's your family of origin. And if you grow up in a family where there's dysfunction, and probably most of us have some level of dysfunction, and we have a hard time learning what the clear picture of marriage should be.
Yes, and I believe that. We have, you know, it's from Adam and Eve. They had clearly some dysfunction. From Adam and Eve all the way until today, some of us have more than others. And you're right. You were going to say something, Mike?
Oh, it's just that, you know, again, all of us do have some dysfunction. We bring that into the marriage relationship, and since we don't have a clear pattern of how to do marriage well, or what looks like, what does a healthy marriage look like, we end up repeating those mistakes, and it usually brings a good deal of unhappiness to our marriage.
You know, the good news is that the things that affect our marriages the most are things that are, they're dynamic factors. They're things that can be changed when we have negative patterns. Negative patterns of communication can be changed. And we're not stuck in these things. And it's we make a choice as to whether we're going to just repeat mistakes of past generations or whether we will be the generation that changes the pattern.
Interesting. So we need to be possibly the pioneers within our family dynamics to say, this is it. I'm not going to continue the insanity program.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know,
isn't it empowering to know that you can do that? You can make a choice. You can identify the areas of weakness in your relationships. You can make personal choices that are going to foster healthier relationships. We have that ability, and that's exciting to me. It brings hope to my heart.
What I know, both, you know, husband and wife, one likes to do, one when something comes up, when an idea comes up, one says, oh, I like it, the other one doesn't. What inspired you both to create this show?
Well, what we wanted to do was, again, to help marriages in America. And so we started looking at the types of experts we could have on, the types of interviews we could do in order to disseminate this information to our viewers, and, of course, also to create the seminar. And as we did that, we just started looking at marriages across North America and realized that this is a dismal state for marriages in North America. The divorce rate is huge, and even those marriages that do remain married, many of those marriages do not report being happy and fulfilled in their marriage. And Gail and I have been so blessed that we've had a good relationship that we felt like that, you know, we know it is possible. we've experienced it, and we know others can as well. And so our desire was to do something to help the state of marriage and throughout North America and even throughout the world.
Excellent. You know, and it's funny that you said that because I remember hearing someone say, well, I'm sticking to it all the way to the end, even if it kills me. And I'm like, it's going to kill you with that attitude. So,
yeah.
You know, so why can't you change it and make it into a wonderful journey? And they're like, well, you know, I said to the Lord, I'm going to stay. So I'm going to stay. And I'm like, whoa.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for perseverance, but I think there can be more than that with marriage.
So I was like, wow, does your wife know this is the attitude you have? So the thing about it is that, so that puts that person in that mad, just simply mad, because that is not a loving attitude to, you know, so I made the mistake, why I now have to stay in it. So these are the type of people also that you reach out that, you know, they just want to, they don't want to get divorced, but they don't know how to live together.
Right.
You know, and learning how to live together is something that takes some instruction, it takes some practice. But, you know, the truth is that even in the best of marriages, that you may be madly in love this morning, but by the afternoon you want to strangle each other. That's just life. Life is messy. But there are still things that we can learn in order to get through those rough times and to eliminate them, or at least reduce the number of rough times that we have, and to have a happy marriage. That's what God wants us to have. It's what we want people to have, and it is achievable if indeed both parties will be truly committed to that.
There's so much value in taking the journey of life together, and sometimes I think we forget that we can find great joy if we will work together. We don't have to, you know, be going down just parallel paths with no closeness and no intimacy. When we make a choice to be close and do the hard work that sometimes it takes to have intimacy, then we get great rewards, because the journey is so great. You know, we don't take the journey of life alone, then we take it with someone that we love.
You know, it's funny, and thank you for bringing that up, because literally, as I was reading your book, I sat down and I realized, you know, I am in love with my husband, and I do love my husband. It's just like Mike said, you might love him and be in love with him in the morning, but come in the afternoon, it's like, well, you know, wait a minute, hold on a second, was I insane? But you know what?
Yeah.
We're not taught that, and the minute we start feeling that way, we're taught, well, then get a divorce. You should be happy. But we're going to go through ups and downs. And, you know, I mean, I love my, you know, it's funny, because I look at my husband and I go, but I don't get it. I'm in love with you and I love you. Why am I so angry? And then I'm starting to realize a lot of things that, biblically, that, hey, we all fall short.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do. You, basically, the newsflash is this. You're not married to a perfect person. But the second half of that newsflash is, neither is your spouse. We're both imperfect people. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. It's going to happen. And so the key is, all right, since we know that's true, let's find a way to get through those rough spots. Let's find a way to eliminate or at least reduce the number of irritations, and to find something that brings us joy. Because life is messy, and relationships are, hey, you know, they're always going to have their challenges. But we do believe, and we do know, that it is possible to take a bad relationship and make it good. In fact, there's been some research done among people who have gotten divorces. And the truth is that the research demonstrates that most people who get a divorce had a marriage that was actually good enough. It was good enough to survive if they would have done the work. If they would just hung in there and done the work, they could have gotten through. Now, that's not true for every marriage, but for the majority of them, it is true that they had a good enough marriage. And the other part of that is that the research shows that 18 months after a divorce. The vast majority of people are no happier after their divorce, 18 months after, than they were before the divorce when they were so unhappy. So, again, you know, the relationship, your best chance of intimacy and a fulfilling marriage, 9 times out of 10, is with the person you're married to now. And the work is hard, but it is doable, and you can have a marriage that really is lasting and fulfilling.
And thank you for saying that, because in the beginning of the show, I was mentioning that I have met people that have gotten divorced, and they have remarried, and they never understood why they got divorced the first time.
Yeah.
It was like, why did, and I would like to see a research on people that have been remarried and have stayed longer with each other because of the fact that because society has made it so easy. You know, so easy to, okay, you know what, people are looking at the wrong marriages, you know, and people are getting married and then getting divorced within a month, and we're not taking marriage seriously anymore.
No, that's true. We're not taking it seriously, and not even aware of the fact that it is hard work. But, you know, what you get from that hard work is so valuable, so precious, so fulfilling and wonderful that, let me tell you, it's worth the work. It really is.
I believe it. And, you know, one thing I learned just recently, and then I'm starting to try, Gail, you and your husband were talking about Q.
Well, yes.
Yes. And you know, so many, for those who don't know what the Q is, can you explain a little bit about the Q? Because it's amazing. It's kind of like a timeout, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you start to realize that you're in an argument and it's escalating, one thing that you can do is you can have a Q that says, all right, it's time to stop. And this is something that you have to decide upon beforehand. In a quiet moment, in a sane moment, when you are discussing your marriage and realizing what is best for your marriage, and you both say, you know, we don't want to have arguments that escalate where we hurt one another. And so we want to have some kind of a signal that helps us to stop. And in the heat of the moment, that's not easy. So your cue might be anything that you decide upon. Maybe it's something as simple as we're doing it, you know, to remind each other that, hey, we're doing what we don't want to do. And when one of you realizes this argument is getting out of control, you just say, we're doing it. And then that is your signal that you agree to stop the argument at that point.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that you never discuss this issue again. You need to come back to it, but you need to come back to it with some good skills for dealing with the problem. So it's essential that you don't just say, okay, we're not going to talk about this. It's essential that you learn skills that will help you be able to talk about things without escalating and hurting one another.
And usually when you use the cue and you stop the argument, it's best then to set an appointment to come back to that issue. And that appointment usually is within the next 24 to 48 hours. So you come back to the issue, you deal with it then with the problem-solving skills that are essential to every marriage, but you do it with calmer heads. You don't do it in the heat of the moment when you're likely to say something that you'll regret later. And so the cue is a good tool to have in order to stop an argument in its tracks and stop hurting each other so that you can find a time to schedule a problem-solving session rather than a fight.
So it helps, and while you're saying this, it was helping me think that's where the cue, the tool, can help you be angry but not sin and just get that moment of saying, okay, you know what? Okay, good. Let's just take that time out. And because if I continue, I'm going to sin, and you're going to sleep in a different room. So,
right.
You know, so it is a tool that is like, okay, you know what, so that we may not sin.
That's right.
Let's just stop it now. 48 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours gives us enough time to think about what we were, and not to ruminate. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, basically, if your listeners would like to see material like that, if they go to Facebook, if you happen to be a Facebook devotee, You can go to Mad About Marriage on Facebook, and there you will find about 5 or 6 videos right now that have 2 to 3 minute marriage tips, and the Q is one of those. And so you can play the videos that Gail and I have created and watch those marriage tips right there on Facebook's Mad About Marriage page.
That's where I got it, from Facebook, and I wanted to mention that, because it's like, wow, you know, this is so cool. And it gave me that, you know, and I'm going to talk to my husband, of course, he's listening, thank God. I wanted to talk about that a little bit before we moved on, so I'm glad that you mentioned it. The cue, just set boundaries. That's basically setting boundaries and saying, this is not going to go any better. Let's just, you know, and have a cue that it's going to stop, you know, and resume later.
I think we need to look at the big picture, you know, because in the big picture, your desire is not to wound your spouse. The desire is to be close to your spouse. And so if we can have tools that help us avoid wounding one another, then we're going to have a lot better chance for intimacy, for closeness, for feeling connected to one another.
That's right.
Once you put those words out there, they're there, and the damage is done. Even if you repent and apologize later, you still have done the damage. And then you have to do the work to overcome that. So if we can avoid that in the beginning, we're miles ahead.
Yeah, and I've been guilty. I think we've all been guilty of that once or twice, or maybe 300 times myself. Since both of you are out and everybody's looking at your marriage and everybody sees how you're working and everything, I know that there must be thinking, they have a perfect marriage, but have you had, obviously we know you've had challenges, but have you had challenges that are like, well, you know, that's it?
Well,
and you don't have to answer, believe it or not, you don't have to answer that. But you know, it's just for people out there that are going, "Oh, they're perfect."
You know, we have been incredibly blessed in our relationship throughout the years, and yet it would be ridiculous to think that any two human beings could live together and never have any conflict.
Oh my!
It's just not going to happen. So you know, we've had our challenges as well.
Absolutely. We have never come to the point where we've ever thought about divorce. At least I haven't. Have you, dear?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You put it now on radio, so everybody across
internet
knows this.
I'm committed now.
Yeah, but we've never come to that point. But there have been points where we're basically, I think Gail would just assume that I take a walk for a long time. There are times when you're irritated with each other, times when you've had difficult things you've had to work through. We've all done that. And with us, the issues have been at times communication. There have been other times when we've had problems because we've got different backgrounds. You grew up in different places, different philosophy of life. We've even had some financial stresses on our marriage. But through all of that, we've been able to pull it together and find a way to solve the problems and hang in there. So there are no perfect marriages. We have been blessed with ours, but, you know, part of the blessing comes, I think, in being willing to do the hard work and be vulnerable, and we've chosen to do that. It's not been easy for us, but we've chosen to do that, and I think that's part of what makes a marriage better.
The power of choice. The power of choice. Choosing to make it better.
Yes.
It is better, and it gives, you know, when we start using our power to make the right decisions, the burden becomes lighter. I feel it just becomes much lighter because you know, I noticed something that you keep on stressing: communication.
Yes.
And I think we've been desensitized in society, and you know, I sometimes I find myself sending a text message to my husband and he's in the other room. It's like, can you bring me something to drink? And it's not, instead of me going and saying, honey, do you want something to drink? I'm parched. Let's just sit down and have something to drink, water, tea, whatever. And we're just so easy to just like, he'll do this for me or she'll do this for me. It's communicating a problem.
Yeah. Well, communication is an absolute key to marriage, because everything you know about one another, you know because you have communicated in some way or another. So we've got to be careful that our communication is what, that we're actually communicating what we desire to communicate, and that is that we value this individual, that we respect this person. And we have to be careful about how we interpret what the other person says to us or what they convey to us, because it's so easy to misinterpret. It's so easy to negatively interpret. And it's just key that we say, this is a valued person, a gift of God to me, and I want to communicate well, and I want to understand well.
I think the other part of that is to recognize that we're communicating even when we don't think we're communicating. Silence is a communication. Body language is a communication. Facial expression is a communication. The rolling of the eyes and the sigh, that's a communication, you know. As I disapprove of you or what you've done or this situation, we communicate even when we don't think we communicate. But we also communicate, you may be saying the words, but the truth is that the real message comes through your life, through voice intonation, body language, facial expressions. Everything about us communicates. And if we're going to communicate the right things, we have to be aware of all that we're communicating and make sure that we communicate the right things to our spouse.
So, did my husband email you? I'm just kidding. I'm rolling the eyes. it's true. because you just described me. It's like, it's funny because I'll turn around and say, I love you. I said I love you. I'm clenching my teeth and I'm telling him I love you. And he's like, right.
And I'm
saying it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we really get a lot more from what the person is not saying than what they are saying sometimes, don't we?
Yes. And it's funny. And at the same time, it's sad because I think a lot of it has to, it is communication, and it's just the things that you're not saying that also manifest in different ways. And, God bless the marriages. What piece of advice would you give to couples? Because I'm married now this year, 11 years, and I really would like to be married to my husband forever. So, advice would you give couples that can help them have a long-lasting and satisfying marriage?
That advice, I think, is going to vary somewhat from couple to couple, but I think with most everyone, it starts with spirituality, making Christ the center of your life. And by the way, that used to be something that preachers would say, and everybody would say, okay, a preacher's supposed to say that. But now there's research to back it up. The research actually indicates that where mom and dad are both spiritual people and they share a spiritual journey, that those marriages are more fulfilling, they're more likely to last, and children are happier. The second best scenario and with spirituality would be if dad is a spiritual person, even if mom is not. Even those marriages report higher levels of satisfaction than marriages where either mom is the only spiritual person or neither one are spiritual. But the best goal is for both of you to say, we're going to make Christ the center of our home, we're going to focus on his grace and demonstrate that to each other. So I think that's where it starts. But then we've got something else in our marriage we call a mantra. Gail, why don't you tell a little bit about that?
Well, we had an experience years ago that caused us to come to a conclusion of this mantra. And a mantra is basically something that it's an oft-repeated phrase. It's something that you base your experience upon. And our mantra is this: I will never intentionally hurt you. And that came out of our own experience, where there was a time that I did something that was hurtful to Mike, and he told me about it, and I apologized to him. And then a little bit later, he told me about it again. And then I apologized again, and he told me about it again. And this kept on. And, you know, finally I said, you know, you act as though I did this on purpose.
And now, before we go on with this story, you have to understand something. Gail grew up, are you old enough to remember that 50s sitcom, Father Knows Best?
Yes.
Probably not unless you are. Okay. You know, we're idyllic Americana where everyone adored Dad, and Dad solved all problems. He was the fount of all wisdom. That's where Gail grew up. She grew up in that home only better because they had God. I, on the other hand, grew up in The Simpsons. You know, I mean, we put the dysfunction, the fun back in dysfunction. It was a mess. And so when she said, you act as though I did this on purpose, my immediate thought was, well, hello, yes, of course you did. But then Gail said something. She said basically that which became our mantra. She said,
I want you to understand, I will never intentionally hurt you. And basically what that means is, you know, there will be times that I hurt you because I'm human, because I make a mistake, because I didn't realize something would be hurtful, whatever. You know, there are many reasons why I might unintentionally hurt you, but I will never intentionally do it. And I think when we make that our mantra, when we make that our motto, our principle, it says that I will never stop and think about something that's going to hurt you and then go ahead and do it.
Right.
Because that would show disrespect for you. That would not value you as a person. It would inflict wounds that I couldn't remove. It's just not worth it.
Right. Now, there are times when you go brain dead, or, you know, you forget, or you're just not aware. But whenever Gail does something that hurts me, one thing I can be assured of is that whatever happened, she didn't do it on purpose. She may have forgotten. She may have gone, as we said, you know, just had a senior moment, as we all are getting closer to, or we, mm-hmm. you know, maybe she just forgot. But as long as I bring it up, I said, I know you wouldn't hurt me on purpose, but I really have a question about what just happened because it didn't feel right. Then we can talk about it. She can explain it. She can apologize, whatever else. And it keeps me from having to get angry and respond in kind. And so, because I know that whatever hurt me was not done intentionally. And that really makes all the difference to me.
It makes a huge difference when both of you make that commitment, because then there's a level of trust. There's a freedom there that says, all right, something's wrong, but we can back up and we can ask the question, well, what really is going on here? Because I know your intent, your underlying intent is not to hurt
right.
me.
Now, those are the first two pieces of advice having to do with spirituality and the mantra. And the last thing that we would say is there, both of you have to have a willingness and a commitment to learn and to grow. You know, that means that you learn things about yourself and you're willing to make changes in your own life, your own behavior. I've done counseling with people where the man said, well, she knew I was that way when I married her. And I said, well, yeah, but you had flat hair. You had a flat belly and hair at the time, and that changed, so why can't you? You know, things change. People change. We all make decisions to change. And so if we can learn and grow and change, we can make a marriage better. So those are the three areas, I think, that we would start with as far as advice to someone who wants to have a happy marriage. Spirituality, engage in the mantra, my spouse would never intentionally hurt me, and then be willing to learn, to grow, and to make personal changes.
So I have to, you know, I'm hearing you, I know that I'm not just with my husband most of the time, and it's like, oh, let me show you and give you a piece of my mind. And that's the first thing that comes, because I think that he's already meaning to do something to me because I'm in that, like you said, Mike, you came from The Simpsons. I came from Mommy Dearest home. And so to me, it's like, I'm going to get you back before, you know, like I used to have a saying, do unto others before they do unto you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And it's like, interesting. That is very interesting. So basically make a creed between the husband and wife. First, mm-hmm. get the spirituality in there. Make a creed that I will not intentionally hurt. And then if that happens, take the time and say, you know, I took it this way. Did you mean to do this to me? Or did you mean to say it this way? That is also part of communication. And then, of course, the third. So I think that's awesome. And for those who are just listening in, remember, it's a work in progress, and it's something that you have to choose to do. The word respect, why is that so hard nowadays? Because people put respect and obey in the same category. So if you respect, you're obeying, and women are not supposed to obey their husbands, supposedly. What does it mean in the marriage relationship, and how important is it?
Well, respect and obey are not really the same thing in this context, for sure, because what we're talking about when we say respect is we're talking about always conveying the message that you value and you cherish and you accept this person that you're married to. You value every part about them. You respect every part about them. You value their opinions, their thoughts. You respect their accomplishments. You respect their family. You respect their feelings. Every aspect of life, you respect that other person. You value them. You cherish them. They're not a person that you would want to hurt in any way. So you want to see the value that God places on them, and you try to emulate that same value, that same respect.
I think respect also goes back to the mantra, because a part of the mantra is we change the way we view each other from being, you know, separate entities, one of whom might be opposed to me at times. No, instead we're team members, and team members have each other's back, and team members respect each other. And so as members of a team, I want you to know that I cherish you and I value you and I've always got your back. And we're on the same side. We're going to work together because we are on the same team.
And I realize that we may have differences. We're not the same person.
No.
I don't want to be married to me, but often we think, well, you should be just like me. and that's not healthy. We need to respect that the other person as the person that God has made them. And together we can complete one another.
Right.
So, you know, I think we get stuck in this thing of, well, that's not the way I would do it. You should do it my way. You should think the way I do. No, I need to have respect for the way that Mike thinks. I need to realize how he approaches a problem and respect and value that. There are just so many areas of life where he's going to do or think differently than I do, but I need to respect that fact.
And as we do that, we actually learn from each other. I've learned a great deal from Gail as we talk about problems together that we face. We've been in ministry together. We've pastored together. We work together with Faith Today. And when we face a problem, sometimes I have an opinion about how that should be handled, and Gail may have a slightly different opinion. And when I listen to her, I learn from her, and she learns from me. And we may come to an arrangement that's a little different than either one of us have thought about, but we've learned from each other. But you can't do that if you don't respect each other. And so I think learning to cherish and to value and to accept and respect your partner is key for changing and for learning and growing and for making a marriage work.
Respect is very important then. It really is huge. And so often people want to change the other person, and it's like, why can't you just be like me? I'm perfect, and you know, obviously, you can't, you know, that's narcissistic. I learned about that this week.
That whole idea of trying to change your spouse is a bad idea. The old saying is that on her wedding day, all the bride can see is the aisle, the altar, and him, when in reality, she's thinking, I'll alter him. And
I like that one.
Yeah, it's just a bad plan. Don't change it. In fact, if you're not married and you're thinking about getting married, my encouragement to you is don't marry this person if you could not be happy with them exactly as they are for the rest of your life. If you think I can change him or her when I get married, if that's in your thinking, don't get married because you're marrying the wrong person. Don't marry anyone that you could not be happy with if they never changed a bit for the rest of their life. But now that you are married, your job is not to change that person. You do have a right to express your concerns and your desires, but the only person you can change is you. And so respect yourself enough to make changes, respect your partner enough to express your concerns, but also not to try to change them.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those who try to change and they have failed every way they could possibly fail, and they feel that their marriage is no longer restorable, how can a marriage be restored?
You know, I am convinced more and more that marriages that need restoration, what they need more than anything else is a miracle. But praise the Lord, we worship a God who's in the miracle business. And I've seen that happen over and over again. When you ask God to take care of your marriage, what he does first is he breaks your heart. And he makes you willing to acknowledge your own wrongdoing. The fact is that it is rare to find a marriage that has gone wrong where it's all one partner's fault and none of the other. It's at least 90-10, you know? And usually it's closer to 50-50. And so
yes.
I think that the key here is to say, all right, God, show me what I've done wrong, what I need to change, and make a confession of that before your spouse. This is what I've done wrong. And by the way, a confession is not saying, well, this is what I did wrong, but if you hadn't done X, I wouldn't have done it. That's not a confession. That's a rationalization. A confession says, I did this. It doesn't matter what you did. I was wrong. And I should have done something different than what I did. And so that is a true confession. This is what I've done. Please forgive me. And by God's grace, I want to change this. Then, if asked, you can say this, or even if not asked, if you want this to be work, you say, my concerns about the relationship are, and then you can describe behaviors. You can describe attitudes that need to be changed. But you allow your partner to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by yourself. So you have to acknowledge what you've done, forsake that destructive behavior, forgive yourself, forgive your spouse, and day by day build the relationship again as you make the positive changes.
Wow. Yeah, and again, miracle, but it starts with oneself. It starts
yeah.
with that individual. And I realize each day now that it is a step to the right direction when you want to make sure that individual prays about it but focuses on themselves in empowering the other person.
Right.
As well. And so, you know, because it's about empowering too. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, our prayers should be less about, Lord, change my spouse, and more about, Lord, change me.
Right.
Because the only person that I know for sure that I can have a part in changing is me. And my spouse is the one who has to change her. And that can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer is, Lord, change me. Make me the kind of man that my wife would want to be married to. Make me the kind of man who will acknowledge what he's done wrong and will change in order to meet the needs of my spouse. Make me tender and brokenhearted towards her. Change me. And then, Lord, I pray that you will bless my spouse in every way possible, that you will pour out your riches upon her heart, that you will bring her close to you. And you know, if he does that, she will see her need, because the first thing that we see when we come close to Jesus is that we're not like him and that we have needs, that we need to be changed. And so if I will pray that she become like Christ and come closer to him, any change that needs to be made, the Holy Spirit will make in her at that point.
You know, we talked about love being a miracle, the restoration being a miracle, but really love for each other is a miracle every time.
Yeah.
The fact that we can love anyone is a miracle of God within us. And so if we can open our hearts and say, God, give me the love, give me the miracle of love that only you can give, then that's where it starts, for us to have him miraculously create love in our hearts so that we can see our spouse the way he sees them.
Vivian, I have seen marriages where couples have done everything possible to destroy the relationship. I mean, multiple affairs, addictions, violence. I've seen it all, and yet I've seen God intervene in every situation where he's allowed to, and to change those marriages. I've seen him help couples get over each of their affairs. I've seen them get over addictions and to build a relationship of mutual love, of spiritual values, and trust and openness. I've seen him do that. And every time he does it, I just sing his praises. It's an amazing thing to watch God work his miracles in the lives of his children. And he can do it. You may think your marriage is too far gone. If you're listening to this program, you may think, well, I've messed this up too bad, or my spouse has messed it up too bad. And although there are cases where, you know, if we're not willing to change it, it may end. The truth is that God is a God of miracles. And I've seen him change relationships. I've seen him change people. I've seen him restore a relationship of health and wholeness where there was none before. God can change your marriage if you will trust him. He is a God of miracles.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he can change everything, and he can. But we have to allow him to make those changes. And not only that, even the spirit of resentment. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people carry those. You know, I had to come to the reality this week that I was holding some resentment towards my husband, and I was like, whoa, I'm the one that teaches about letting go. and I'm like praying, saying to the Lord, Lord, show me what I'm doing wrong. And he's like, you're resentful. And I'm like, I couldn't be resentful. Not me. I'm the one that teaches how about not being resentful. and he was starting to show me step by step by step. I'm like, oh my goodness, forgive me. Now I have to work on just, you know, letting go. It's all in the past. There's always room for a new beginning today.
Don't let it eat
you up anymore. And many marriages die because of resentment. So real quickly, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to just find out more about your book and your ministry and your next seminar.
Well, okay. Let's talk a little bit about books. We've written two books on marriage. One is entitled 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage that you say you're reading right now, and that's basically looking at relationship secrets that we found in the Book of Ruth. We're looking at three general areas that we call concern, commitment, and character. Character is you being the right person rather than finding the right person. I want to be the right person. And concern shows that tenderness towards your spouse. And, of course, commitment is I'm here for the long haul, and by God's grace, not only am I going to stick this out, but I'm going to make it better. So that's that particular book. And we also wrote a little book entitled Mad About Marriage, which talks about the big issues that are breaking up marriages throughout the world today. So that's the key, those two books. Now, as far as where our next seminars are, Gail?
Well, we're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina next, and we'll be in Huntington, West Virginia soon, Winnipeg, Canada. And basically, even this summer, we're going to be in Alaska and back in Alberta, Canada.
Ohio.
We're going to be all over the place. So the best bet is to go on our website at madaboutmarriage.com, and you can find a schedule there of all of the upcoming seminars for 2012 and 2013. So there's a long list, and you can sign up there. You can register for the seminar right there and be ready to go.
And as far as what's coming up and with Faith for Today, which is the parent ministry that produces Lifestyle Magazine and Mad About Marriage, we've got some big stuff happening. First of all, coming up very shortly, April 18, we are shooting a two-hour special for the Trinity Broadcasting Network, a Lifestyle Magazine special with the women from Women of Faith. If you've ever attended a Women of Faith conference, you know, I've not done that because they won't let me go. I'm of the wrong gender.
But I'm not. And I got to tell you, these women are outstanding. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Candy Patty And she's going to sing for us as well as be part of the interview. We'll have Patsy Claremont and Sheila Walsh and three or four other others of those women who are going to come and talk with us and share their lives and their experiences and their talents.
And that's a two-hour special we're shooting on April 18th, and it will air numerous times on Trinity Broadcasting. We pitched this idea to Trinity of doing a special live program. Their flagship program in the evening is Praise the Lord, and we've done that program for them before, but when we pitched this idea to them, they said, no, we don't want this for the live program. Let's shoot a two-hour special so we can play it over and over and over again. So they're excited about that.
We also have a lot of new Lifestyle Magazine shows coming up. We're taping about between 40 and 50 new shows in April, and those will begin to air, so that basically what it means is we're going to have Lifestyle Magazine shows with no reruns for the next two or three years.
That's right.
And we're excited about that.
And a large number of those are going to be Mad About Marriage shows, and we're planning to strip out the Mad About Marriage shows as their own show. So we'll have both Lifestyle Magazine and Mad About Marriage, and they will run as together at times, but also as separate shows. And that's an exciting thing for us, because we'll use that in order to promote live events as well. Also, we're on Roku. That's coming out this month. We're on mobile apps. Call on Faith is one of the mobile apps that we're on. And we're also planning a mission trip. We're hoping to do this in the summer of 2013 to Razan, Russia. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to be a part of a mission trip, if you are a handyman with skills in that area, or if you are a healthcare specialist, we're going to go to Russia for a mission trip to help a church that Faith for Today planted there years ago and built, and we'll do evangelism in that area. So those are some of the things we've got coming up right now.
What a blessing. Well, I mean, there's just so many things. God is really blessing your ministry. I will continue lifting you guys in prayer and your ministries. I mean, the two-hour show with Patsy Cline, was it not Patsy Cline? Oh, I love her too. Patsy Claremont and Sandy Patty and all the women from Women of Faith. Okay, excellent. Oh, and that's going to be April the 18th.
That's when we're shooting it. Now, it'll be
taped,
so it'll
air
different times, but still.
And all these shows are happening, so they can go into your website. They can go towards your website, read all these
mm-hmm.
things that are happening. Oh, wow. God is really working with you guys. Are you guys going to come at all to, like, Southern California area anytime soon?
Let's see. We're going to be in Ceres, California before long.
That's more northern, though, isn't it, Ceres?
Are we going to be?
I can't remember. We do about 20 of these seminars a year, and so we kind of forget. You can go to madaboutmarriage.com and see our upcoming schedule there, where we're going to do the seminars. You can also go to madaboutmarriage.com to watch the Mad About Marriage shows, but you can also go to lifestyle.org and watch all of the Lifestyle Magazine shows and the Mad About Marriage shows, and of course we will be putting information on upcoming events there too. We're also going to be Ukiah and Livermore, California, coming up here, and then also Harrisburg, California, as far as the upcoming California dates for the next year and a half.
Wow, because Ukiah is not far from Loma Linda.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it's not far from Loma Linda, so that's good for me. I'll have to take a whole group of families out there because, you know, a lot of marriages are struggling. So that's in August of this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
August 17 and 18.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start gathering a whole bunch of couples, and let's see, you know, how many of us will go over there, because this is, you know, God is really working. Is there any final words that you might want to share with our audience? Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we want to make sure that you have some final words for our audience as we close.
Don't lose hope. Help is available with quality counseling. There are good books to read. And, of course, there's the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't lose hope for your marriage, and don't give up, because you know what? It's worth saving. It's worth working for. It takes work, but it is worth it for you.
There's so much value in taking the journey of life together, and we just hope that people will make that all they can and not throw away those opportunities that God has given.
That's right.
Thank you so much. I like that. Don't lose hope. For those who are just tuning in or just, you know, if you need more information, please visit www.madaboutmarriage.com. And look at their resources. One book that I'm going to tell you that has helped me is 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cry, but it came to a point where I the Holy Spirit showed me this week what I was doing. And
bless your heart.
If you really want to save your marriage, I ask you to pick up a copy, 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage, and don't lose hope, because that is what the world wants you to lose. But, you know, God has such great things for your marriage. Once you choose to have Him be the center of your marriage. Mike and Gail Tucker, thank you so much. I will be getting in contact with you guys again, and I will keep you guys, your families, and your ministry in prayer at all times.
Thank you. Well, forward to you and blessings to you and your family.
Thank you so much. I am blessed. Well, everyone, this evening has been such a joy, such a wonderful opportunity to talk to Mike and Gail Tucker. A lot of marriages are struggling. A lot of marriages are going through so much at this present time. And I just want you to know, like Mike and Gail said, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. And pick up a book. Pick up a book. Pick up the book, which is the Bible. But also this 10 Keys to a Happy Marriage, Relationship Secrets from the Book of Ruth, has opened my eyes to a new level in my marriage and in my life as a wife. And I know that God can restore, and He is diligently, as always, waiting for us to say, "Help me, I need you." With that said, I know that everyone has been blessed. We will be returning back not the following Sunday, but next Thursday with a guest, a special guest. We'll give that information out to those via email, and we'll put that on our website. We will be back, but we're blessed. And remember, as I always say to everybody, keep yourselves informed. Always remember to keep yourself educated in the Word. Don't let anyone deceive you. Do good unto others, and keep your focus on Christ, that one day we may be ready to say, "I fought the good fight." God is good all the time. Please don't lose hope.
The Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by the following sponsors: Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company; Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business; Polo Enterprises, a professional services company serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services; and Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice.